Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Jerome Seiler. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to speak about the Catholic social teaching. It's a group of the Church's teaching, principles of the Church's teaching that are known to some degree, but probably very little compared to many other teachings of the Church. And we're especially going to focus on the landmark letter, encyclical, that really began a whole series of letters of the popes on Catholic social teaching. And that encyclical was written by Pope Leo XIII in 1891, and it's called Rerum Novarum. This encyclical has a background, since it was written in 1891, of growing problems, especially a disparity of wealth in many parts of the world. Also, there were some movements that were gaining strength that boded ill for humanity. One of them was communism, extreme socialism. Those who were responding to the growing disparity of wealth that was coming through the Industrial Revolution, they're responding to that by stirring up revolution and hatred toward the wealthy with the interest of redistributing their personal property. On the other hand, you had, as another result of the Industrial Revolution, you had extreme capitalism that was unchecked, that led often to some of the things you read about in the novels of Charles Dickens, where children were forced to work and people were forced to work for wages that kept them in abject poverty. And they had no protections from the dangers of their workplace. They had no guarantee of even being able to have enough food, you know, based on what they were able to earn working to the best of their ability. And so Pope Leo XIII saw this and decided to write a letter, which has been has become known as the watershed moment in the Church's social teaching. And many other popes, all the way up to Pope John Paul II, and even Pope Benedict, and in some ways Pope Francis, have also written encyclicals that touch on many of the same themes. And so Father Jerome had the idea for this show to talk about this. So maybe tell us a little bit about what sparked this interest.
Well, honestly, I was debating this with one of the members of the Frassati group. I was debating principles that reminded me of this and inspired me to read it again. And it was a friendly debate, which continues. You know, shortly after that, I was reading about the life of Pier Giorgio Frassati, mm-hmm. Because I was doing another interview about him from someone who called up. He was a member of the People's Party. That was the whole purpose of the party, was to really expound and, you know, just promote the principles of Rerum Novarum. That was mm-hmm. it. So Rerum Novarum was written in 1891. Frassati, the Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, was born in 1901. And all of this stuff was happening in Italy at the time. You know, there were the communists and the fascists and all these parties vying for power. And really, you know, the Rerum Novarum is just, I think, a wonderful, wonderful encyclical. It expounds the main principles of Catholic social teaching. And it's just political wisdom inspired by the Holy Spirit. But it really gives principles which come from the natural law. There's two extremes which are actually, yes, which you mentioned, which are condemned outright in the encyclical. Mm-hmm. And it's very important, I think, for us as voters to just consider these things. They're just true principles regarding political matters. And so one is the main purpose of it is, I mean, one of the main principles that comes out is the reasons for why extreme socialism is actually unjust, mm-hmm. and then why extreme capitalism is unjust, what that means, and, you know, the warnings regarding each.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the principle is about. It's on capital and labor,
mm-hmm.
Technically. So that's the main focus of the document.
Right. And the Pope draws not so much from political theory, but really just from Catholic theology, Catholic doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
He goes all the way back to God himself. You know, God is a communion of persons, one God in three persons, a communion of divine love. And human beings also are made in the image of God. And one of the ways that we are in the image of God is by being made for communion, you know, made for love of God, love of neighbor, and also communion with our fellow pilgrims on the way to heaven. And when the Pope wrote this encyclical, it was a bit of a departure from what many previous popes had done in some ways, because usually encyclicals are written about, you know, specifically about our journey toward heaven, you know, our spiritual life, you know, the principles that will help us get to heaven. Mm. But the Pope Leo is also interested in those things that would inhibit, you know, the way to heaven or encourage us on our way to heaven, even things that we're not directly having to do with matters of faith, but things that had to do with the human community, the human relationships, in families, but also in societies and in cultures. And with that disparity of labor, that was a disparity of capital, a disparity of wealth that was coming, especially because of the Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. you know, and we see that still operating today. You know, before the Industrial Revolution, the only way you could probably amass a lot of wealth was by, you know, inheriting it.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't, you know, have a publicly traded company on Wall Street in those days, you know, you had to inherit land, you know, produce, you know, goods, you know, from crops, you know, it was not easy to amass a large amount of wealth. But in the Industrial Revolution, it became more and more possible and more people were doing that. And so there is sometimes violent reactions to what to do about this, but he's guided by Catholic principles in this. And one of the great principles of Catholic social teaching, which Pope Leo doesn't perhaps directly call it in these words, the fundamental principle of Catholic social teaching is the dignity of the human person.
Mm-hmm.
The dignity of the human person is made in the image and likeness of God. It's the human person who is the destination and the reason, the highest good in all of the visible creation, and it is the human person that should be placed above income or wealth or other types of means of production. Mm-hmm. So, about 100 years later, a number of popes also wrote encyclicals, especially on certain anniversaries of the 1891 encyclical Rerum Novarum. And one of the ones that I also have been really fond of is by Pope John Paul II, called Centesimus Annus, on the 100th anniversary of Rerum Novarum. And that was, of course, in 1991. And the Pope, Pope John Paul II, saw both of these things still in operation, you know, 100 years later. Mm-hmm. He saw extreme socialism. He saw communism, you know, which had kind of taken over, you know, his own country of his home country of Poland. He also saw, you know, another, you know, he saw extreme fascism, which is really not exactly the same as capitalism. Really, it's another form of socialism, but he saw that too, you know, during the Second World War and all the things leading up to it. And he recognized that these two things are still very much dangers that we must respond to with the dignity of the human person, putting the human person first. But he recognized yet another thing that was happening, which was, a consumeristic culture, completely consumer-oriented culture that again, because there was so much ability to purchase and own and buy and produce, that people began to be subjugated to things even more so. So one of the principles then is the dignity of the human person. Another one of the great principles in Catholic social teaching is subsidiarity. Subsidiarity is something that is often not that well understood, but it's a principle that is especially against extreme socialism. Extreme socialism would say that all property, all wealth, you know, belongs pretty much to the collective people, the government, to be redistributed at the will of the government. Whereas a subsidiarity says that it should be on the most local possible level that important decisions should be made. That, for example, if there's a need in a family or local area, rather than having, you know, the collective government take care of it, it should be taken care of at the most local possible level and the most human in the most human possible way. And that kind of combats extreme socialism or communism. On the other hand, there's a principle of solidarity, which is the principle that we're not complete isolated individuals. We also have to have the responsibility to help the other members of our family, our community, or our country when they have problems and needs that they cannot remedy themselves. And that's directed, in a sense, as a check against extreme capitalism. The extreme capitalism would say, you know, we'll let everyone have complete individual freedoms and let the markets have unbridled freedom and let the chips fall where they may. Solidarity goes against that. No, we are responsible for helping one another in our need. And so I heard one Dominican say once, who had read a lot about Catholic social teaching, say that you know, the Catholic person who really understands Catholic social teaching is going to find something to challenge every possible political persuasion, every possible political party. There's no one political party that's ever going to completely fit everything that we believe as Catholics. It's always going to, or even just on an individual person, there's always going to be some part of Catholic social teaching that really challenges us, that really jars us, that is really difficult to accept. For some, it might be solidarity, if they like to emphasize complete individual freedom, you know, to take seriously that we are our brother's keeper. You know, on the other, for the others, it might be subsidiarity, that we can't just, you know, hope for the federal government to eventually take care of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to let these decisions be made on a local level, even if that implies some messiness and some inequality, you know, as a result. So Father Jerome, what are some other things you found in that encyclical that you really?
Yeah, those principles, the principle of solidarity and the principle of subsidiarity, are principles that Pope John Paul II really brings to light most clearly in Centesimus Annus, which is just a wonderful, wonderful encyclical. In Rerum Novarum, Pope Leo XIII doesn't mention those specifically. They are inherent mm-hmm. to the work. But yeah, he's really just His main objective, first of all, is to say why socialism is wrong. Mm. First of all, because the communists are, you know, really being persuasive and coming to power in many ways. And so he just wants to explain, you know, this is not just. So, and the main principle that, in virtue of which he really condemns pure socialism, which by that I mean the state owns stuff. Mm-hmm. The individual does not have private property. The state owns everything and distributes mm-hmm. as it sees fit. So he says that is just wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the individual, it's natural. It's according to the natural law, you know, apart from any kind of explicitly theological principle, it's just unjust to take property from the individual. Individuals have a right to private property as something that they can naturally accrue as a fruit of their own labor. And to take the fruits of someone's labor is just unjust. So, and there's many other things that follow from that, but that's the main thing. It's just intrinsically unjust on that level to deprive the individual of the fruits of his labor that he has justly acquired, either through his own toil or through inheritance or however it may have been.
You're listening to The Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by my fellow friar, Father Jerome Zeiler. We've been discussing Catholic social teaching, and especially Pope Leo XIII's landmark encyclical, Rerum Novarum, and discussing especially how in Rerum Novarum, Pope Leo points out that you can't deprive a person of their private property. Mm-hmm. Private property is actually something that is a basic human right.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever he mentions that, which would certainly rub against the grain of extreme socialism, but he also speaks about the universal destination of goods.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a little bit more perhaps uncomfortable for you know, your average American.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that one, Father Jerome.
Yeah. Now, before he gets into the universal destination of goods, he talks about, after like really just kind of condemning socialism outright, mm-hmm. he also talks about, you know, the philosophy that, you know, yes, individual freedom should be completely respected. You know, Adam Smith and others were promulgating that the government should just be completely hands off. The laws of economics, the laws of supply and demand and everything else should regulate the economy in every way. And also, you know, employment, the wages of employers, all the terms and conditions of employment and everything else, mm-hmm. just economic principles, period. Mm-hmm. The government should not be involved at all. Well, Pope Leo writes against that because it's very important to understand like the circumstances under which he was writing this encyclical. And it was before like the full development of the labor unions and everything. It was right at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, and a lot of workers were really, really being horribly deprived of their human dignity in many ways. Mm-hmm. So you had, you know, they were, you know, there might be one company in town and they work, you know, I don't know, 12 hours a day, every day of the week or more, you know, 16 mm-hmm. hours a day, every day of the week. And, you know, they agreed to that. They freely consented to that, but, you know,
they maybe had no other real options.
They had no other options, you know? So, but Pope Leo XIII says explicitly in the encyclical, look, the state is in charge of the common good and in charge of justice for all. And the poor workers, you know, the working class, they are especially vulnerable. And, you know, yeah, maybe in time the labor unions will form and everything. But if those powers are not in place, it is incumbent on the state to protect the dignity and rights of the worker. So, for example, to make sure they have some time to spend with their family, you know, that fathers have time to spend with their family, that they have time to, you know, keep the Sabbath holy, or, you know, to obey their conscience and everything. And yes, everything else, like just that they do have a right to a just wage. They have a right to that. Now, the details of that, the church does not go into details, but it's just saying in principle, that is a right. And the state, you know, in concern for the true common good, is especially obligated to protect the rights of the worker and of the poor, and who are more defenseless because they don't have a whole bunch of wealth and other means to defend their rights. And those basic rights, the state must defend. So he came out really clearly against just pure capitalism, where, you know, it's just completely free and the state does not intervene in any way whatsoever. So those were the two things. So you asked about the universal destination of all goods. So just very briefly, you know, what we mean by that is the church says that, you know, God created the whole world for the good of mankind, and, you know, the food and the everything that is good for man, all the natural resources, it's for everyone. It's not just for the few who have the power to take it all, perhaps, you know, to themselves. It really is for everyone. And the poor actually have a right to their essential needs, whether that be food or shelter or whatever else, you know. Pope Leo the 13th, it's just one paragraph, but he says, in principle, you know, there is a universal destination of all goods. And the way to understand this is the distinction between the right to own property and the right to use it. Now, a person has a right to property, the fruits of his own labor, to own it completely. And the state should not infringe on that right. But how to use it? He says, you know, if you ask how they should use their riches, and this is where it might get a little uncomfortable for some, but it's a clear teaching of the church. You know, with regard to justice, they need to make sure that the needs, the absolute need, minimal needs of the poor are met. And they have an obligation to share their wealth for the sake of those needs. And the state can even oblige that the minimal needs of the poor are provided for. And that's that's actually just, they're obligated to for the sake of the common good. That's essential to the common good. But he says beyond that, the rich should, they have the right to, you know, of course, according to the order of charity, provide for the needs of their own family, to provide for the needs, and not just the needs, but that they have, that their needs are becomingly provided for, that they have everything they need for like a becoming human life. But beyond that, charity demands that they should be first concerned for the poor. After they've provided very well and suitably for themselves and for their family, after that, Scripture says, give alms, you know?
Right. And it all keeps coming back to that foundational principle of the dignity of the human person. You know, whenever we see in a culture or in a nation or in a local community or even a family, the dignity of a human person being destroyed or misused or a person being used as an object, you know, that's kind of the canary in the mine shaft that something's wrong, you know? So I think Pope Leo was looking at that in his own time and then you know, enumerating these principles. Of course, he doesn't, you know, the church tends not to get into the details of mm-hmm. how to implement that. There are multiple ways to do that. But mm-hmm. But I think that's so important, the dignity of the human person. And Pope John Paul II really emphasized that in so many different ways during his pontificate. Mm-hmm. From, you know, the sanctity of human life from conception, you know, in the very beginning of life, all the way to the treatment of the terminally ill, mm-hmm. Which he himself became an example of in his last, you know, last months and weeks. You know, he saw that the human person taken advantage of in so many different ways in his as a young man in his country in Poland and so on. But so that's why he spoke and echoed what Pope Leo XIII said, that it is, you know, whenever we see that the human person made in the image and likeness of God is being deprived or suffering or used as an object or bought or sold, or that's a sign that something is wrong, and that we need to look to the principles that God has given us to help that person. Mm. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by Father Jerome Zeiler. Let's end now in our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.